Dr. Jaime Marone, Jim Williams, is going to come and open up the scriptures for us, lay a good foundation for the day. For those that don't know Jim, he's been with the Palau Association 45 years. He jokes that he joined the team when he was 10. And he's a gifted Bible teacher, Bible translator, counselor, and he's part of the NGA team, and he's one of the most knowledgeable people I know about ministry in Latin America. So if you're doing anything in the Spanish-speaking world, Jim's your man. So, Jim, come on up and open the word to us. Thanks.
Thank you, Dave. And it's interesting to see you hobbling around. You know, you get to a certain age, and you've got to start slowing down. So today, I did something that I said to myself I would never do. Yesterday, I had the message all ready, sat down, changed it completely. Didn't change the title, but I changed the message completely. And so this morning, I'm going over it, praying over it, and on the screen comes, "Don't shut your computer off. We're going to install updates." Can that happen in the middle of a message? I started using a computer. I was in Haiti with Phil Comer. Some of you know Phil. We were speaking at a pastor's conference, and they had this big fan on us because it was so hot. And I would walk away and talk, and I'd come back, and my notes were on a different page because the fan kept blowing the notes. So I said, "I'm going to get a computer." So I got a computer, foolproof. Nothing can ever happen. You've got some updates, you know. So, by the way, if you're going to Spanish-speaking world and you need Bibles, I just found out a couple of weeks ago that I can get the Nueva Traducción Viviente, which is NTV. I can get these at I'm an author with Tyndale, and I can get these at my Tyndale price, which is 70% off. And so this is a translation. I know the translators are good people. And that is very easy to understand, especially for new Christians that don't understand the old Spanish. So I've got some in my office if you want to take a look at them. Today, have you ever felt like giving up? Have you ever been discouraged? I have. We were talking about transitions. I went through a couple of transitions, you know. They're hard to go through. But then when you look back, you say, "Ooh, I wouldn't have missed it." And but, you know, there are two tendencies, and it's said right here in the scriptures in ministry. Number one is becoming weary, and the next one is giving up. And let me read Hebrews 12, and you'll see it right in here. Therefore, Hebrews 12, 1-4, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily traps us, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become what? Weary and give up. There it is. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. So, it also says it in Galatians 6:9. Let's not become weary in doing good. Because, and that, to me, that says, you know, it's so obvious, but I'm going to say it anyway. In Spanish, to say it's obvious, Spanish has very creative expressions. Obvious in Spanish is, se cae de maduro. Se cae de maduro. In other words, the fruit falls off the tree without having to pick it. It's so obvious. It's so ready. And so let's not become weary in doing good. We can become weary in doing good. You know, I get weary when I'm doing bad. Here it says, don't become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. There it is, weary and give up again. Now, how about 2 Thessalonians 3:13? As for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. They must have had a problem. There must have been some weariness and problems back then. I find it interesting that we can become weary in doing good. So, I made a whole list of things, how we become weary, enduring good, and I'm only going to mention four today, but I had a lot more. But only four came because Dave didn't give me much time. So, I mean, I had things like Moses, you know, he didn't delegate enough, and, you know, anyway. We can grow weary doing good, even to the point of giving up. How does this happen? Number one, we can do ministry with the wrong motives. Now, this is right here in Galatians. So I looked through and I found a couple of wrong motives in the scriptures. Matthew 23:5. Everything they do is for show. The older versions say, to be seen by men. That's wrong motives. And I said to myself, have I ever, not me. I have never done that. Let's go on to the next one quickly. Galatians 6:12. Want to look good to others, Paul says. How about Galatians 6:13? So, they do ministry, so they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. And I thought, modern, what's that mean? You know, so I can boast about it. I can look good or I can sheep steal. You know, I mean, anyway, I came up with some antidotes for each one of these. Antidote number one is Galatians 1:10. I'm not trying to win the approval of people, Paul says, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Antidote number two, 1 Thessalonians 2:4. For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines motives of our hearts. So that's number one. Number two, we can become weary to the point of giving up. Not only having the wrong motives, but also indulging in something that, I hate even to mention this, self-pity. No one appreciates me. I should be recognized for that, and I'm not. He got the recognition, and I didn't. Have you ever looked in the Urban Dictionary online? The Urban Dictionary tells it the way it is. The Urban Dictionary's definition of self-pity is this. Self-pity is the most destructive of the non-pharmaceutical narcotics. I tell you, they really... It is addictive. Gives momentary pleasure, and it does, and separates the victim from reality. What are some contributing factors? I just gave a course in Miami on biblical counseling in Spanish, and I talked about contributing factors. There's always contributing factors. Number one, isolationism. You know, you isolate yourself. You know, I need some time. I got to have time, you know. And we do. We have to have time alone. But I was in a church where one of our elders, his daughter got sick in the afternoon. And she just got sick. Kids get sick. She died that evening. And it was such a shock. And so he resigned from the elder board. And then he stopped going to church. And he said, I need some time. 2 years later, he came back. He said, well, the worst decision I ever made. When I needed people, I went away from them. Isolation. Another one. Contributing factor. Comparison. You know, comparison can lead to envy. Comparison's a time bomb. It's out there waiting to explode. You know, criticism leads to envy, which leads to bitterness. And Amy just told me that I'm doing a webinar on bitterness in May. Here's an interesting passage in Proverbs 27:21. A man is tested by the praise he receives. And then I put after that, or doesn't receive when he thinks he should. What's the antidote here? Antidote. Pay careful attention, Galatians 6:4, to your own work. For then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. Antidote, Colossians 3:13, make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, and you must forgive others. another road to weariness and giving up is we may not be dealing with our own sins or weaknesses. We may not be dealing with that. I don't know what it is. Maybe pride, lack of accountability, anger, worry, exaggeration. Luis Palau, if he were here, he could go on about all the evangelists that he knew that started well but fizzled out. Kevin, hasn't he talked about that a lot?
Yep, I can't remember the names of some of them.
Well, I remember one particular that I knew, and his weakness was he was lazy and he liked the good life. You know, he didn't work hard. And there definitely is an antidote in Hebrews 12, the passage we read. Now, I only read part of it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us, number one, strip every weight that slows us down. Now, that's not necessarily a sin. It's some type of a weight. I remember when my son Joel ran the 800 meters, and it was a cold day, and he was getting up and to go, and he still had his sweats on, and he walked up, and he couldn't get them off. And the gun was going up to start there, and he's there trying to get his... I mean, he could have run them with his sweats on, but it would weigh him down. It would slow him down. And he's trying to strip off the things, you know, and that's what he's saying here. Strip off those things that slow us down. And then he says, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Now, I shouldn't have done this, but I was in Lima, Peru one time, and it was 9 in the morning. I was speaking at chapel at a Bible Institute, and they didn't want to be there. The students, I don't know, a lot of them had been up late or something. They didn't want. So I said, I'm going to tell you the sin that easily trips you up this morning. I'm going to tell you. So I kept doing that every night. Finally, I get to the end, and I say, it's the one you're thinking of right now. And, you know, we have different ones that keep tripping us up, you know, and we need to deal with those, because when we don't, then we become weary and feel like giving up. Four, the last one, because of the lack of time that Dave gave me this morning. We may not, this is in the context of Galatians 6 again, we may not see the desired harvest. Or what we expected, or when we expected it, or how we expected it. You know, he in Galatians 6, 9, and 10 says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good at just the right time. There's a time we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. My antidote is in Isaiah 55, 11. It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always. How many times? Always. Always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to. You can take that one to the bank. And it will prosper everywhere I send it. You know, we get, I mentioned this to several of you, I've been answering counseling letters for 46 years. And the stuff that some of the standard answers I use we're putting onto a website now, it's going to be an interactive website. But we get one or two a month, and it goes like this. Someone made a prophecy over me and said I'm going to have a great, huge ministry. Or the other variation of that is I had a dream, and I saw myself in front of thousands of people. And I always write the same thing, Luke 16:10. If you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, then you won't be honest in greater responsibilities. And so sometimes we don't see the harvest the way we want it, when we want it, the type we want it. And sometimes we don't see the fruit right away because we go in and we leave. And I think the Lord allows us sometimes to see some of these things just to encourage us. I was in Panama, and David Guerra, he was candidate to be president of the country. And he was the head of the Pastoral Alliance in Panama. He came up to me once. He opened his Bible and he took out a letter. And he said, I want you to look at this. And I said, what is that? He says, I became a Christian, but I was totally confused. And I wrote a letter. And here's your answer. 23-page answer. I don't even remember it. I wrote him a 23-page answer. He says, this changed my life. I thought, the Lord let me see that, you know? So then I was in Cali, Colombia a couple of months ago. And after I gave a seminar, and after the seminar, a lady walked up to me and she said, I just want to tell you something, that I was a member of the FARC. I was a guerrilla. You know, they were out killing people. And I came to my house, and my mom all of a sudden started listening to a radio program by a guy named Luis Palau. And so every time I'd come, she'd turn it on. You know, and I didn't pay any attention. Then I noticed that there was a place to write in. So I wrote in, you answered me. And I wrote in, you answered me. And I wrote in, you answered me, and I became a Christian. Now I have a ministry to children all over this area. I had no idea. You know, the word is going out there, and it's accomplishing what Jesus wants it to. I could go on like that. If you want to go into my office, I've got a letter up on my wall. I was in Uruguay, and a guy walked up to me and he said, I want to give you this letter. You wrote it to my wife many years ago. Because of that letter, she changed the way her relationship to me, and she led me to Christ. Now I'm a pastor of a church. And I was, so I put it up there on the wall. You can go look at it. Conclusion. Overall antidote. Keep your eyes on Jesus. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Then you won't become weary and give up. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Now, in the context of Hebrews 12, there were a bunch of witnesses, probably the ones in Hebrews 11. You know, you can look to them for inspiration, for motivation, for encouragement, for challenge. But don't keep looking there. I mean, after all, Samson's in that list. I mean, people who failed. David's in that list. You know, they're going to fail you. You look to Jesus, he never fails. He never fails. Look to Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. You can look to the witnesses for encouragement, but you got to look to Jesus for empowerment. Day by day, moment by moment. That's the relationship with him that will help us not give up. The word means action of one who, while aware of rival attractions, deliberately, act of the will, looks away from other things and fixes his eyes on Jesus. Then you won't become weary or give up. Lord, thank you for these moments together. Lord, bless each one of us. We know that there is an answer in you. Oh, Jesus, we look to you today. Help us to keep our mind, our hearts, and our motives fixed on you. In Jesus' name, amen.